looking for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Well, this is telling David this may be one of the most interesting shows I've ever done in an odd way. It may be a three-hour monologue because we don't have any phones right now. Engineers apparently are working on it, and I will let you know when we do have phones. That number for your just for your notes is 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. You can email us, and I can cover your question like I've done a few times already this morning by sending it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. info@dirtdoctor.com. We've been talking about the mulch and the bed preparation and all that, and just to finish on that, and then I want to go into tree planting conversation with you. But the mulch, I think, is the shredded native tree trimmings, the stuff that's just the ground-up material that the tree care company creates from the limbs that they've trimmed out of your trees, is the best mulch there is. Nothing is even close to it, as a matter of fact. And the reason is all the other mulches that you can get at the stores, pine needles are okay. They're fairly high on the list. They look kind of weird if you don't have any pine trees is the only thing. So buying pine needles, pine straw in bales or whatever and using it is fine. The pine bark is lousy mulch. And it's lousy from a couple of standpoints. One, it won't behave itself. It washes and blows away and won't stay in place very well. But the other thing is, it's pretty much all carbon and some toxic materials, naturally toxic materials, that work beautifully when the bark is on the trunk of the pine tree, you know, to help fend off insects and diseases and things like that. But used as a mulch, it does some kind of negative things. So it's just not very good. The cypress is mostly wood, comes from swamps, has to be shipped across the country in a lot of cases, so there's some environmental issues. Doesn't breathe nearly as well. It's just nowhere near as good as the ground-up tree trimmings mulch. The dyed mulches, I don't like from two standpoints. I don't like the dyes. Some of the people try to market the fact that their dyes are non-toxic, and that's fine, but that's not the main problem with that stuff. The main problem is that it's ground-up lumber. And in some cases, it can have some pollutants, but that's not even the main problem. The main problem is that it's all carbon. And you get nitrogen drafting. It doesn't function as a mulch well, and it looks bad. The dyed mulches don't look good. They don't look natural at all, so don't use those. And the shredded native tree trimmings, of course, are a whole lot better quality anyway. Rubber, ought to go without saying, that stuff is nasty. I tell you, related to that, I was telling Judy about this not too long ago. When you watch a football game, you see something about rubber that makes you worry a little bit. Those players, the professionals, and even more importantly, the kids, you know, in junior high and high school, they're playing on those fields, and you know, you see them tackle and hit the ground, or just running and cutting and everything. You see the black stuff kind of pop up in the air. Well, guess what that is? That's ground up tires is what that is. And somebody did a wonderful marketing job to convince people, athletic directors and designers of those kind of things, that material would help hold the turf down, for one thing, I guess, and maybe it helps to hold the blades of that artificial fabric more upright instead of laying over. I worry about the kids and the adults breathing that stuff. Even if it wasn't toxic, I wouldn't recommend rubber as a mulch. I tried it when it first came out, when people first started talking about it. I tried it on some golf courses and some other places, and it didn't even work. It didn't even function very well. It was just an attempt to try to get rid of a big, big problem. A better way to handle the rubber is what's being done on the mines. I visited with one this week where it's being put into landfills after being partially ground up and is being handled in a way that's environmentally sensitive and all that. You don't want to have it as your mulch in your beds for sure. What kind of related to that, I was asked a question one time, and I think one of the car guys was asked this question, then somebody heard that and asked me about it. They said, you know, Howard, if you think about tires on cars, you know, we all drive on rubber tires, and that rubber wears down, and finally the tread's gone, and we go buy new tires, and all that tread has worn off. Where did it go? It's a good question. It just goes into the environment, and there's a lot of volume. So, you know, is it building up anywhere to be a big problem or not? I don't know, but it's certainly something that's worth thinking about. I guess I don't know what we could do. Come up with some kind of tires that don't ever wear down. Well, apparently, phone lines are still on the Fritz. So let's talk about trees. This is a perfect time to talk about trees related to something I've been writing. And we may have some calls here coming in, so we'll work this in still now that I've teased it. My last two columns, the Dallas Morning News, have been the first two steps of my recommended tree planting instructions. The first one was about selection and location. And selection and location relates to what kind of trees I'm going to select and where they should be planted. And the landscape design and the location of the trees is very important because the trees set up the skeleton, set up the structure, the overall fabric of the landscape. And as they grow, they're going to change the environment and all that. So it's really important to consider where they go from a design standpoint and work with the rest of the landscaping. But the other thing is they need to be placed in a lot of cases where they will block certain views, where they will function to block a utility line or a neighbor's house or a neighboring construction project or building or whatever. And a lot of times that will – dropping my pen here – a lot of times that will – dictate where certain trees need to go. The ornamental trees can be planted in the beginning if they can take sun or shade, but on the other hand, they may be you may plan for them to be planted later as the big shade trees grow and create a situation where they'll be more happy. And then the second column I wrote related to this in the Dallas Morning News was the creation of the whole. And I talked about the fact that one of the things I learned from Dr. Carl Whitcomb years ago and through my own experimentation, too, is that rough-sided, wide holes function the best because it gives an aerated soil for those roots to grow out in when they start growing. And if you dig it with an auger, and I've talked to some commercial people, in fact, quite a bit about this, on a commercial situation where you're going to plant a lot of trees, especially if they're a little bit smaller scale, using an auger to dig a hole is something that I've really warned people about in the past, because if you dig with an auger and then just stick the tree in the hole, that smooth-sided hole, you can create the same bad effect with a shovel. You don't want a smooth-sided hole. So if you do use an auger or any kind of a device that digs a smooth hole, you need to, when you remove it from the hole, tear the edges, or take a pry bar and tear the edges. Some arborists recommend that. You can do it with turning forks and various kinds of tools, but the main thing you want to do is to make sure that there's not a smooth glazed wall that those roots of the plants can grow over and hit and start circling in the hole. Creates big problems, especially long term. Okay? So that's what the second column was all about. You can see both of these on dirtdoctor.com. Just go to the Dallas Morning News button that's there on the home page, and you can see the first two I wrote. The one that I'm writing now and that I'll turn in that'll run Thursday will be, I'm taking these, you know, pretty slowly here, and as a result, I'm able to go into more detail about each one of these. The third one will be backfilling the hole properly and the things that are related to that. So we've talked about selection and location. We've talked about the hole creation, and next will be the backfill, and you'll be able to see that after it runs in the paper. Runs in the paper on Thursday. You can see it in the printed form or online on their online version. And then after Thursday, Friday, usually you can see it on dirtdoctor.com. Tree planting instructions and recommendations by the Dirt Doctor. There are other ways to plant trees. We've just found through a long period of time and a lot of trees, our method works best. Back after this.
Good Natured. That's the name of an exceptional line of organic garden and landscape products consisting of fertilizer, pest control, weed control, and soil amendments. You can find Good Natured and other great natural organic products at Dirt Doctor destinations, in independent garden centers, and hardware stores. Good Natured creates products that are safe and simply work better in every way. Look for these great products in Dirt Doctor destinations, and to learn more, go to goodnaturedforall.com. That's goodnaturedforall.com.
Tired of pain and poor health? Well, before you operate or medicate, regenerate with Infinity Stem Cells to activate your body's internal repair system, just as I did. It's simple, safe, effective, and affordable. To learn more, call 800-341-2650. Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine, personal health, and longevity. Call 800-341-2650 or visit AchieveVitality.net.
Make frozen faucets a thing of the past with the Freeze Miser. Simple to install, the patented Freeze Miser activates only when the water temperature reaches 37 degrees and conserves by releasing only the minimal amount needed, even in the most extreme freezing conditions. Perfect for houses, RV hookups, water well pumps, outdoor hoses, water troughs, and much more. Ask for the Freeze Miser by name at your local farm or hardware store, or go to freezemiser.com for more information. Freeze Miser, the answer to outdoor faucet freeze protection.
Howard Garrett from my friends at Ulrich Barnes and their terrific line of sheds and cabin shells. Perfect for your backyard office. They'll deliver you a sturdy shell and all you have to do is finish it out. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the many happy customers that have given Ulrich Barnes five-star reviews. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433 or visit myperfectshed.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically. When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefit to the rose is squandered. Rose hip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as Pure Grow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tree treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best-kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious, healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to DirtDoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you, and we actually have working phones, so we'll go to the phones right away here. Pete, you'll be first. Just real quickly, though, since I started that, the tree planting thing, I'll do the rest of the tree planting instructions, kind of shorthand version, which I've been doing in the paper, too. I end each column with the rest of the stuff just briefly that I recommend, and I'll go through that after I catch up with some phone calls here. But to get the full details of all of it, if you miss what I'm talking about here on the show, just go to the button on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com, Dallas Morning News column, and the next one, the third one of that series, will be up for you by the end of this next week. Pete in Lewis, Delaware, first up today. What's going on? Nice to talk to somebody.
Yes, good morning. First, I want to thank you for your advice. I called in the spring, and I had some mature trees that were being attacked by pests. Some looked like they were dying. You suggested, amongst other things, exposing the flare, and I can report that my pin oak that I thought I was going to have to cut down is actually sprouting new branches. So
that's great.
Great advice. Yeah, it's amazing. Right. Here's my problem currently in Delaware. We have an invasive, it's always invasive, but it's a type of wiregrass. I did some research on the internet. It seems this variety is called Patty Drago. Comes from primarily from the Northeast, and it's invading our lawns down here. And we'd like to eradicate it, you know, organically, because everything on the internet said, you know, Roundup or, you know, chemical. So it starts off small, like in the corner of your lawn, and it's infecting all our lawns around here.
Right. Well, there's a couple of ways to go here. First of all, Peter, have you switched over to using organic fertilizers and things like that so far?
Yes. Well, especially with, you know, my trees and stuff. So.
Okay. Well, doing a little bit more volume in the areas where it's starting to be a problem, I think would be the first thing I'd recommend. Not only the dry fertilizers, but drenching the Garrett juice mixture into those areas will help. The second thing you can do, instead of using Roundup, which is a non-selective toxic chemical,
don't want to use it.
You can use one of the organic non-selective choices, strong vinegar. The 20% vinegar is on the market as a registered organic herbicide. There are others as well out there. There's the Pure Grow Weed Crush. There are fatty acid products, one called Scythe, one called BioSafe, and some others. They're fancy soaps. They'll do it. But you have to spot spray those. Those will hurt your turf grass that you have too, which is probably bluegrass or fescue or something where you are there in Delaware.
Yeah, it's a blend. Okay.
But
well,
and then the final
much.
Final
Enjoy
thing, the final thing is to look at the product called AgriLawn, and this will go for one of the other callers that's coming up too. AgriLawn Crabgrass Killer is the only product on the market at this point in time anyway that is a selective organic herbicide. In other words, it'll kill wiregrass and clover for the call that's coming up and for some other weeds as well. So give that one a try as well. And let me know how it works for you, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. We've got Delaware checking in here. Bob from Delaware also. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hi, I'd like to get rid of some clover in my yard. I got quite a bit of it.
Did you hear me talking about that product just now?
Yes, I did, yeah. The crabgrass killer?
AgriLawn Crabgrass Killer will take the clover out beautifully, and it works better on southern grasses, but on the northern grasses like you would have there, it might yellow them up a little bit, but it shouldn't do permanent damage. One thing about the clover, I encourage it in a lot of cases because the low-growing clovers, you know, have pretty flowers and really look nice. But if you want to get rid of them, you can spot spray with the vinegars or fatty acid products like I was talking about, or you can use the selective choice, which is the AgriLawn Crabgrass Killer.
Okay. All right. Great.
All righty.
All right, good. Thank you.
Good luck with that. Mike in Salisbury, Maryland, next up. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
I have a question about mulch. I used to put it around my house, and I quit because I heard that it draws termites. Is there any truth to that?
Well, there's some people that are in the organic recommendation business. In fact, one of them, a friend of mine who is probably the strongest in that regard, claims that there's a couple of problems that come from any kind of a wood-based mulch. I've never seen it, Mike, myself, but be a problem. When you're using the shredded tree trimmings and keeping it moist and keeping everything healthy, there seems to be to me, a balance that goes on that just really doesn't create a problem in that regard. On the other hand, termites are ubiquitous. They're on everybody listening to me right now has termites on their site somewhere. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, ants and just various kind of beetles and roaches and fireflies and everything else, especially if you're using an organic program, you're going to have a wide range of insects, including termites, that are breaking down mulches and woods and firewood and, you know, pieces of sticks and that sort of thing. That doesn't mean at all that they would migrate over to your house and become a problem for the house, unless you have a drainage problem and some wet wood and conditions that they like even better than the mulch out in the yard. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I'm going to have to take a break here. And we, if you do want to talk more, we'll do it after the break. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Phones are working, 866-444-3478, and I'll be back.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive immune formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. Just a real quick tip for you. A lot of people into this, I know, because you're staying at home more than in the past. COVID-19 has brought up some new situations, but some people just needed to anyway. A new home office, expansion of the house, study area for the kids, more storage. I got a strong recommendation, and it's called Ulrich Barnes. And to get information on their wonderful line of products, just give them a call at this number or go to a website that I'll give you. Telephone number is 520-GET-SHED, and the website, and that's 520-438-7433, or go to myperfectshed.com. They've got simple sheds. The quality is incredible, all the way up to finished log cabins that are just gorgeous. So check it out. Back to the phones, and let me see whose turn it is. It's George in Frisco, Texas. Hello, George.
Hello, how are you, Howard?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I have a 70 by 6 area in my front lawn that has two Bradford pears at each end and then various plants and flowers in between. The problem I've had is that I've got poison ivy came into that area, about two-thirds of it, and about, I'd say, maybe over 100 volunteer trees, mainly pistachio and Bradford pears.
Wow.
And over the summer and this fall, I've been slowly removing, digging the poison ivy and cutting down those volunteer trees. And my question is, I'm almost done. I probably have about an hour left to remove all of it. There was a lot of leaves that were mixed in from the trees that had fallen. It was mixed in with the poison ivy. So I basically raked all that out. And now I have two piles, well, multiple piles of leaves that are mixed in, with the dug up poison ivy, and then some other piles of the cut trees. So my question is, what's the best way to dispose of all that debris?
Compost pile.
It's okay to put the poison ivy in the compost pile?
Yeah, the biological activity of the compost pile will neutralize the toxin in the allergen, or whatever you call it, in the poison ivy. That's what I would do. If you want to, in this one case, put it in a bag and send it to the landfill and just get it away from you, that's fine. But it will neutralize in the compost pile, no question about it.
Okay, and then I have a chipper, so it would be okay to just run that, all the little trees. I mean, because some of the trees grew because the pistachio and the Bradford pear grows fast, those little volunteers, because they've been there for all year, have grown three, 4 feet. So it'd be okay to just run those through the chipper and use those as
it would be fine. Now on the poison ivy, you got to be a little bit careful running them through the chipper, or if you chopped them out with something, sometimes you can splatter some of the sap from the poison ivy and it'll get you. So
I wouldn't put the poison ivy through, because I would just, like I say, I've got them separated between the trees.
Okay. No, the other trees are fine to go through the chipper. That's the way I would handle them myself.
Okay. And there's no, how about the length of time to use the compost that's from the leaves and the poison ivy?
Well, once it starts to break down and you get some, stems are obviously rotting and decaying, it's not going to have the property to give you the rash anymore at that point. So just as long as they're starting to break down, you're in good shape.
Okay. All right, because I've been concerned about it. I mean, I've been lucky. Like I say, I've spent most of the summer and the fall digging that stuff out a little bit at a time, and I've been lucky I hadn't got any poison ivy from it. But
well, good work. So, that's really the only way to get rid of it, any kind of a woody thing like that, is to dig it out. Just be careful about splattering any of it on you until it breaks down some. You could put it in a pile by itself, even in this case, and then put the leaves and shredded tree trimmings and some other kind of compost materials on top of the poison ivy. In other words, it will smother it and compost it both. And by the time it all breaks down and it's in a usable form, it won't be any risk at all at that point.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of leaves and grass clippings, so I can just mix that all together, and that would be fine.
Yeah, leave the poison ivy down toward the bottom of it, so it'll go anaerobic, and it'll be a couple of different ways that it's breaking it down and making it neutral.
Okay, one last question on the subject. Mm-hmm. If I see some poison ivy come back, is there any way to spray other than having to dig? Is there any other way to get rid of it, like some spray? I tried the 20% vinegar and some other home remedies I saw organic on the internet, but they seem to affect the leaves slightly, but not greatly. It didn't kill it that much.
Well, if you use the 20% vinegar or any of the organic herbicides on the regrowth, the new little tender regrowth after you've dug out and done what you've done, it'll kill those young sprouts pretty effectively.
Okay. Yeah, you're basically saying get it when you first see it and don't
right.
let it develop.
That's the key. Digging it out, physical removal like you've done, is the best first step. In fact, it's the only step that works. and then spraying the regrowth while it's still young and tender. And this would be the same for Carolina snail seed or of wisteria that's gotten to be a problem, or trumpet vine, or any of the weedy vines, including poison ivy and poison oak.
Okay. All right, Howard. Thanks. I appreciate
good luck.
All your information.
You're doing a good job. That's all you can do.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you later. Let's see who we got next. Dave. Yes, David is next. Mount Pleasant, Texas, my old stomping grounds. What's going on, David?
Howard, let's say 3 or 4 weeks ago, I asked you about putting pure compost in big cattle pots to grow things. You said, well, mix in some lava sand.
Mm-hmm.
My question today is, you know, in a 5-gallon pot to grow a pepper plant, I can envision a handful of lava sand. A cattle pot, which is going to hold over 4 cubic feet, I'm at a loss as to how much, and in a raised bed garden, do I just sprinkle it or do I mix it in?
Well, all of the above. You can just put it out so it goes out at like 5 pounds per 100 square feet on the surface. You know, you can put it out like
okay.
a heavy fertilizer application, or on the other hand, it can be mixed into the potting soil. I wouldn't do it any more than the top 8 or 10 inches, but it could be mixed into your seed bed at a volume of up to 25% or 30%. You see what I mean? There can
wow.
be there can be a tremendous difference. The volcanic soils in Hawaii and other places like that, the level of volcanic rock in those soils is extremely high, and you know how well things grow over there. So the only way of overusing it would be to use so much that it held too much water, and that can happen in a container. So I wouldn't go over, making it 25% of the seed bed, but you can literally put it in a container 100% lava sand and grow a plant in it. It's just going to waste money. And it's not going to do as well as if it's mixed with the compost and the other materials, the other amendments that we recommend.
Okay, one final. I can't find a source for lava sand east of the Dallas Metroplex. Do you know any places east of there that's got it?
Oh, boy. There used to be some nurseries in the Athens area, and I don't know if they're still in business or not, but if you'll just call around any of the feed stores, the farm stores, and garden centers, call around first. I'll bet you can find some. And there's pretty good lava sand, a couple of different sources that it's coming from now on the market that are pretty good quality.
Okay. Color doesn't matter.
Color doesn't matter. The red is typically what is easiest to find and might... I don't know. They're probably both best. I like black lava rock when I use it as a gravel better than the red.
Right.
But as far as putting it into the bed preparation, I think either color is fine. The only thing that really makes a big difference is the different levels of paramagnetism, and it varies all over the map. But any lava sand is better than no lava sand.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, it's a wonderful material. Some people, in fact, I was talking to some people that are formulating different mixes and everything about shale that's been fired, and it's coming from, I can't even think of the name of it, but the shale products that are used as a soil amendment are okay. I've used them and had pretty good luck with them. They don't seem to hold up as far as making the soil nice and soft and flocculated long term, as well as the lava sand along with the azomite does. What is the name of the shale? I'm just drawing a blank on it. But anyway, shale products are okay, not as good as lava sand. We got an open line for you, too, all of a sudden. 866-444-3478. Here's Cassie in Argyle. Is that right, Cassie?
Yes. Hello.
What can I do for you?
Well, I have a strange question. I was asking your screener if this is even something up your alley, but my tree, one of my trees in the backyard, It's a tall tree. I couldn't tell you the name, but from the top of the trunk, I guess that's what it's called, where all the limbs start growing upward, it split straight down the middle, and it split in half. There's a crack all the way down, not all the way down to the ground. But I'm like, well, how in the world did that happen? And I don't think it was lightning because there's no burn marks. And
well,
I think I would have heard it.
It can be just wind. If there's two codominant branches and a real tight V between the two, a heavy wind could cause what you're looking at there. What kind of tree is it?
I don't know. I just had a guy come out and trim it before the fall. And he told me, and I've got it written down somewhere, I just can't remember.
Okay.
But I'm looking at it right now, and the split is actually right off a pretty big branch, but there are two bigger branches on the other side. So,
well,
from
you
what you're
bolt
saying,
it,
it's
you
like...
You can bolt it back together, but it's not what I normally recommend. I normally recommend standing back and seeing which is the weakest side that's left on each side of the split and taking the weakest side completely off. And let
the
side that's left regrow. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back right after this.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? PureGrow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for PureGrow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, not just another powder in a capsule. With hundreds of probiotic products to choose from, what makes health experts worldwide consider Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics superior? Dr. O'Hara's crowning distinction is the 500-plus postbiotic metabolites produced during its 3-year fermentation process. Why are postbiotics so important? Postbiotics are vital for sustained digestive balance and overall immune health. Postbiotics are fundamental for hormonal balance, weight management, skin care, and brain health. Postbiotics are the Dr. O'Hara advantage that is essential to our health and wellness. Encapsulated in a vegetarian soft gel, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a live paste of 12 strains of probiotic bacteria and nourishing prebiotics from whole fruits and vegetables. Join the millions of people worldwide who know the power of Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Go to www.essentialformulas.com today to find a retailer near you or search online.
Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. I had a couple of questions come in by email. Let me address real quick, and then we'll get back to the phones. One was, and by the way, Cassie's question about a tree split down the middle. You can, I did it kind of fast. You can put a stainless steel bolt through at, you know, per horizontal, you know, straight across, and bolt it, and it'll do fairly well, but it's never going to heal. It's just going to be a long-term temporary fix. And that's why I recommend if you can, just to cut one side completely off, a little hydrogen peroxide on the wound, and maybe the tree trunk goop, and let the side that's left fill out. And you'll be surprised how quickly the top will fill back out, and it'll be good. If it's split too badly, sometimes you even have to take the tree out. But that's what I like better than putting a bolt through the trunk. It can fail, for one thing, if it's not done really, really right. Somebody else asked me about tomatoes, green tomatoes that are still on the plants in the vegetable garden, and with frost coming, what do? You can cover the plant, two ways to go. Cover the plants with floating row cover. It's that white spun material that you can get at all nurseries and garden centers and feed stores and everything. Drape it over, just touching the plants, or put bamboo poles or rebars or anything you want to use to hold it up above the plants. It works even better. It gives you somewhere between 4 and 8 degrees protection against frost, keeps the cold wind off in addition to keeping the temperatures moderated. But the other thing you can do is you can pick the tomatoes and take them in the house, and they'll ripen in the house. We did some experiments some years ago about putting them in boxes in the dark, wrapping them with paper, keeping them in the dark, putting them in the closet, leaving them out on the counter, just putting them in a box. Every way we did it, as long as they were past a certain point, they ripened up. It didn't seem to be one particular way of doing it that worked better than the others. And it's just a matter of whether the tomato, even though it's green, has gotten to a point where it's mature enough to ripen. And the only way to find out is put it out. Even if they don't ripen, you can look up a good recipe for fried green tomatoes and use them that way. Another question was about walnut leaves from trees. Can you grind them into mulch and add them to the compost pile? And it's a good question, because walnut leaves and all the parts of a walnut tree contain a natural chemical called juglans, and it has some properties that can hurt plants. But the only plants they really hurt are nightshades, which means peppers, tomatoes, eggplants, things like that, the vegetable garden. So in a landscape situation, mowing them into the turf, especially if it's not solid 100% walnut trees, if it's a mixture of walnut with other kinds of things, pecans, oaks, maples, and other things, mulching them into the turf, mulching them, putting the excess into the compost pile, not a problem. Okay? Let me see. Sherry in Arkansas next up. What can I do for you, Sherry?
Yes, I have a tar-based gravel driveway.
Okay.
That's surrounded by oak trees. And so since you spoke about the leaves this morning being beneficial for growth, I have grass growing amongst my rocks. How do I kill it off?
It's a gravel driveway, and is there anything under the gravel?
Yes, tar-based.
Oh, tar-based. It's a tar paper kind of material?
No, I think it was like a spray-on. My parents did it.
Okay. I've never dealt with that, but I'd still do the same thing. Do you know how deep it is under the surface of the gravel?
The grass?
No, the tar base.
Oh, just right below it. Okay. It's just like probably an inch or two, maybe.
Pretty shallow. Okay, there's a couple of ways to go. This is a good situation for spraying the whole area on a regular basis. Anytime you see the weeds getting a start, spray the gravel area with the 20% vinegar, the Pure Grow Weed Crush, or one of the other organic herbicides. The other thing you can do, and I do this myself, I have a gravel driveway at our office, and it's pea gravel. It's a mess. It was there when we bought the place. And they didn't have anything under it other than the soil. And so I have weeds, you know, coming back kind of from time to time. There is a tool. It's a hoe called a push-pull hoe. And there's two different kinds of push-pull hoes. There's one that looks like a stirrup, you know, a riding stirrup. And it swivels just a wee bit. And you pull back and forth on it just under the surface of the gravel, and it does a beautiful job of taking the weeds out, especially if you do it when they're just getting started and they're still pretty young. The other one, and it's the one I use, is under the brand name Rogue, and it's triangular shaped, and all three sides of this push-pull hoe are sharp. And you push-pull with it, and it knocks out those weeds even better than the stirrup push-pull hoe. So either way, you can do the spraying of the organic herbicides, or you can use the push-pull hoe, or both, and keep your weeds under control very well in the gravel. Okay? You there, Sherry? I guess she got what she wanted. I hope she did. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We have another hour for you. Those of you whose radio stations don't carry the show, you can listen to the live streaming online like a lot of people do. And I will see you after this.